Wham! Talk 1600. You're catching the drift. Conservative talk. Intelligent conversations on local, state, and national issues with Gary Wellings, chief editor of the Current newspaper and Current Online. Join in the conversation at 734-822-1600. And now, your host, Gary Wellings.
And thank you for tuning in to catch another edition of the Dirty Lowdown, the drift. Here on Wham Talk 1600, joining me in studio, Brandon Drake.
How are you doing, sir?
Good. How was your turkey day?
Yeah, it was great, as you heard earlier.
And the day after.
Okay,
good to know. Derek, thank you for producing for us, and thanks for always having a good lead-in from our buddy Matt Clark, sitting across the studio from us. It's a good lead-in. All right, so tons to take care of today. We got to talk Ferguson, but there's a few things I want to get to first. Let's take care of business and get that out of the way, shall we? Our sponsor this half hour will be Specialty Satellite TV and Internet. 517-851-9100. You can get speeds of up to 15 megabytes per second through HughesNet, which is, you can get internet through satellite. A lot of people don't seem to realize that, but you can. And 15 megabytes per second is nothing to sneeze at. That's good speed. So you can save $10 a month for 2 years on the power plans they have available, and that's Specialty Satellite TV and Internet, 517-851-9100. This guy's at Specialty Satellite and Internet. Good stuff. So Thanksgiving, turkey for you.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. We did the turkey and the prime rib and all the goodies.
Prime rib.
Yeah.
That sounds...
My brother and sister-in-law always put on a great spread. So thanks to Doug and Stacy for having us down for that. So that was a good time. Get the family together. And it's that time of year. We're going to do it at Christmas, too. So, you know, Christmas is only 26 days away.
Hey, another day to eat.
I could stop eating well before then, I tell you. We're going to get into Ferguson, was the big news this week. It happened the way we both said it would happen. He was found guilty on nothing. Doing his job is basically what the grand jury said. And we'll get into that. There was something that really I wanted to touch on.
Well, that's the whole thing. He was trying to do his job.
He was trying to do his job.
And he was put through hell.
Yeah. Isn't that amazing?
Mm-hmm. God forbid a police officer try to enforce the law and then defend themselves when they're attacked. Oh, can't do that.
Well, it's a strange new world that we live in, isn't it?
Sure is.
In the meantime, the smoke and mirrors of Ferguson, I think, seems to be pulling us away from a lot of other matters. The scandals, Fast and Furious is still there. The IRS scandal is still there. Obamacare is still there. And there was some breaking news this
morning. Guantanamo is still there, but
Guantanamo,
maybe not for...
Yes.
I mean, this clown has been arguing to close that down for the past 8 years. 2 years as he ran for president and 6 years in office.
Mm-hmm.
He won't close the border, but he wants to close down Guantanamo.
Right. All right. We had a caller. Was it last week we had a caller say, wait until his pardons come at the end of his term. Let's see what he does to the worst of the worst that are in there that he hasn't cut loose.
Yeah, Khalid Sheikh Mohammed.
Yeah, well,
maybe he'll get a talk show.
Chuck Hagel leaving, right, this week, I think was part of Guantanamo, among other things, looking for a scapegoat, but we'll see what happens. But something I put on the drift this morning. Now, what we do here on Saturdays, Drake and I go over the news of the week, and that's the news that you'll find at The Daily Drift. Go to www.thedailydrift.com. And I link up all the stories from the internet. I do the homework for you, so everything you need is right there. Click on the links and stay informed. So www.thedailydrift.com. If you want to email me, gary@thedailydrift.com, I can read your comments on the air, or you can make a suggestion of what we should cover, or you can call in 734-822-1600.
Now, you do the you do the homework for – did you also work with the Notre Dame football team? At one point in time? Doing the homework?
Are they that good this year? No, with me, dude, it would be more like Michigan. I was doing all the homework for Brady Hoke, obviously, this year. That's how good they're doing. Let's start with a little Obamacare action here. U.S. CEOs are threatening to pull their tacit Obamacare support over a wellness spat. Now, this is how convoluted this whole thing gets. You know, they put together Obamacare saying that it was taking care of the people without insurance and that it was going to lower the rates for those of us who do, and you could keep your plans and keep your doctors and all that stuff.
It was like, what, $3 billion without health insurance?
Yeah.
$6 billion, $10 billion? How many was it?
I want to say it was $6 to $7 billion, something like that. They said we're not covered.
$20
billion? And they're saying now like 3 million, I think, are covered, but how many have lost coverage? It's so hard to keep track. But here's what's happening, and I think people miss the point. Obamacare, a lot of it was written by the special interests. It was written by the insurance companies. It was written by corporations who wanted something out of it and allegedly got something out of it. Well, a lot of U.S. corporations kind of gave their tacit approval to Obamacare, and part of that was if they had wellness programs in place at work, there would be bonuses and kickbacks not only to the people involved in buying the insurance, but to the corporations themselves. Well, to do that, they had to make sure you really involved yourself in a wellness plan. You couldn't just say, oh, yeah, I'm doing wellness and I quit smoking. Well, they run tests to see if you're smoking. They have you fill out questionnaires and surveys to know that you're actually in the wellness program trying to get better. Well, somebody said, hey, that's a violation of my rights. You can't do that. I'm going to sue. So the EEOC, which is the federal government, stepped in and said, yeah, we don't think you can do that. And now the corporation is saying, wait a minute, you promised this to us, and now we're not getting it. So you know what? We're not really going to support you now, which is good news for the GOP, which wants to get rid of Obamacare or somehow at least change it. So it's just one more stick on the fire of what is a burning Obamacare plan. And it's topsy-turvy. What in the world were they thinking when they passed Obamacare? Amazing. You know, the special interests always seem to get it wrong.
Yeah, and like you're explaining the latest revelations on this, and it's still just, and I've said this over and over, it still blows me away that they could have wording in the bill that states that the subsidies will only apply to each state that sets up their own exchange. At least that's the literal meaning of it. They're going to argue otherwise, I guess, in March before the Supreme Court, that the subsidies apply to those states that are relying on the federal exchange as well. But how they could have that in there, like it is, the wording, to jeopardize their whole plan.
Yeah. Well, I think it comes down to that it was so many special interests writing their own parts of the plan and sticking it all in there as quickly as they did without reading it, without having 534 congressmen read through it and their staffs read through it, just passing it, as Nancy Pelosi said, to see what's in it. Well, there you go. It's a mishmash of crap, you know, that Obamacare put together, and now we're paying for it. I hate to be the one to say I told you so, but you know what? We told you so.
Well, you know, Senator Patrick Kolbeck, he called in the American Dream earlier today, and he said, no, that it was intentional that they worded it that way because they wanted the states to set up their own exchanges. And
just didn't happen.
Maybe assuming that each state would.
Yeah, well,
and they gambled on that and lost.
When you assume. Yes, we know what happened. Let's take a call from Jenny, who wants to comment about Obamacare. Jenny, welcome to the show.
Hey, guys.
Hey, Jenny.
Well, I just want to tell you what happened about a week ago. And I was talking with a friend that I have that lives in Windsor. And anyway, I told her what my health care situation is possibly going to be starting in July, and it's not good. And I explained it to her, and I says I blame Obama first of all because he's at the top. And she said, "Well, don't blame Obama, blame the insurance companies for it." And you know, they mean they have universal health care, so she don't care. And you know, I agree with the part about blaming the insurance companies because I blame them as well because they were duped. But it was him. It starts at the top. The buck stops there.
Yeah, and it trickles down from there as well. So,
right.
Yeah, I mean, there's a million people to blame, millions of people to blame,
right,
for Obamacare.
And
that includes each and every one of us who voted for Obama or didn't vote for Obama's McCain or Romney or whoever. I mean, we're all, there's a lot. The blame can go around.
Yeah, but it starts at the top.
Yeah.
Right. Well, you know, when he started running for office essentially in 2006 to take, you know, for the 2008 election, he basically came out with all these things he wanted to do, and people just either were too stupid to really listen to what he was saying. But he talked about Obamacare. He talked about closing down Guantanamo. A lot of things. And you know, we still won because people were just so anti-George Bush, and they bought into the whole McCain being George Bush's third term, that they didn't even care what Obama said. He could have said, hey, I'm gonna burn down Washington, D.C. And say, yeah, we need to do that.
We're going to Big Rock Candy Mountain.
The guy could have almost said anything and would have still been elected.
Yeah, this was a backlash president.
It was, exactly.
Absolutely.
He's a rebound president.
Yeah. Jenny, what else you got? Anything?
Well, I'm not going to talk about some of it because I'm sick to death of some of it. So I'm not going to talk about that. But the bottom line for me right now is you are one of the few people I can talk to.
Oh, that makes us feel good, Jenny.
Because, you know, some of these friends of mine, she had no call to tell me what to think in the first place.
Right. Well, I can tell you this, Jenny.
I didn't even know what to say to her. I just shut this conversation down because she doesn't get it, and she doesn't even live here. Anyway, my bottom line is that there's fewer and fewer people around that you can talk to.
Hey, Jenny, you know, one thing that fascinates me about Canadians when they, you know, comment on what's going on here and what we're doing around the world, et cetera, and I've ranted and moaned and complained about that, but on the subject of healthcare, when it comes to Canadians, as we know, including people in Windsor, very close to the border, but all across the Canadian border with the United States, they often come here to be treated to save their lives because they can't get on the list in a timely manner in their own country with their utopian universal health care. So my point being that when Obamacare is fully implemented, and we have more of a system like theirs where maybe there are longer waiting lists or just coverage is denied altogether because of your age or your specific situation, is that how is that – not only is it going to affect us, which is really all that matters, but since you're having a discussion with a Canadian, is you could ask her, well, if you have to come here to have your life saved, which so many of your countrymen and women do, what are you going to do if our lists here are as long as the lists you have in your own country?
Right. That was one of the things I would have liked to bring up, but I was just too disgusted to bring it up. And, I mean, she doesn't get it in the first place, but,
right.
You know, I know that, and, but thanks.
Well, those people...
Anyway, that's my bottom line. My country is falling apart. Our country is falling apart. And here she's telling me who not to blame.
Yeah. Well, Jenny, let's leave you with a Stuart Smalley moment. By golly, you're smart, you're conservative, and you know what? You got a whole lot of common sense. So you have a great day. And,
yeah, you too.
Thanks for calling in.
And God's still in control.
There you go. There you go. Thanks, Jenny. Okay. Have a good one.
Thanks.
All right, so let's take a break, and when we come back, we'll get into the meat, which is...
How can you eat your pudding if you don't eat your meat?
There's always room for pudding.
Bill Cosby.
I'm not going to finish what I was going to say.
You still have that soundbite, Derek?
We'll see you on the other side.
Talk 1600 is your conservative powerhouse in Southeast Michigan and online around the world. Start your weekdays each morning at 6 with Bill Bennett's Morning in America, giving you the day's first look at the news-making headlines. At 9 a.m., Glenn Beck blazes the airwaves with his blockbuster radio program. Glenn, Pat, and Stu knock down the mainstream media's hype with humor and truth. At noon, Laura Ingraham pulls no punches and shines a light on the political insanity that dominates Washington. At 3 o'clock,
o'clock, shift into high gear with Wham's own Theron. On the Edge is unapologetic and common sense driven. It's the tough love truth America needs to hear. At 6 o'clock, irreverent, feisty, fearless. It's the Dana Show with the Blaze's Dana Lash, your conservative alternative. At 8 p.m., it's Jerry Doyle. Jerry cuts no slack for the left or right. Keep your radio tuned to Wham Talk 1600 AM and keep everything else at whamradio.com.
My husband was the love of my life.
I really wish he could come back.
We ended up taking it out on each other, and we knew something needed to change, and then we heard about Ellie's Place.
Ellie's Place was special because everybody felt the same way I did.
Hi, I'm Sue Snyder, First Lady of Michigan. Grieving children need support, and Ellie's Place is here to help. Visit elliesplace.org.
I'm Susan Lucci. More than 2 million Americans have a type of irregular heartbeat called atrial fibrillation, or AFib, putting them at greater risk of stroke.
I'm Dr. David Willis, and I frequently see patients with AFib, a serious condition where a blood clot can travel from the heart to the brain, causing a stroke.
When I found out my husband Helmut had AFib, I pledged to learn everything I could.
Susan and I, along with my doctor, work as a team to help reduce my risk of AFib-related stroke.
Visit facingafib.com today.
Good news, state of Michigan. Recent changes to the workers' compensation law have helped mark the second year in a row that workers' comp insurance rates have dropped for Michigan businesses. Reduced costs help attract and retain business, which help keep and create jobs. Learn about changes to the law that is helping Michigan regain its competitive edge. Visit michigan.gov/WCA.
A public service message from the Michigan Workers' Compensation Agency.
Join us every Sunday morning for Wham! Weekend Worship. At 9 a.m., it's the Lutheran Hour Radio Show, followed at 9:30 by the Christian Science Sentinel Program. At 10, we join Bethlehem United Church of Christ. And finally, from 11 a.m. till noon, it's the First Presbyterian Church of Ann Arbor. Every Sunday morning, Wham! Offers an opportunity for you to worship wherever you are. And please visit whamradio.com and click on any of the church programs to visit their websites and to find out more about their live services.
You're listening to The Drift on Wham! Talk 1600. Join in the conversation at 734-822-1600. Now, back to your host, Gary Wellings.
And welcome back. Thanks for tuning in to Catch Our Drift. Joining me in studio, Brandon Drake.
And we did survive Thanksgiving.
We did. We did without any trip to the emergency room and experiencing Obamacare, you know.
did you overeat?
No, this year I was actually pretty good.
Wow.
I go and we kind of snack. Frankly, I could not eat after snacking all day. I'd be fine, one or the other. I think it's too much to do both. But I kind of rationed myself because I've been feeling a little bloated, you know. Mm. I just hit 50 and I'm starting to pack on the weight very easily. You know, I just need to find that new paradigm of stop eating so much. I really have to go to the small plates or something. You know.
I once again, couldn't control myself. I loaded up on the snacks, which was mainly shrimp, cheese and crackers, and I can't remember what else. But I just kept hovering, kept eating. So then when the main meal was to be served, I was stuffed with cheese and crackers, shrimp, whatever else was there. So then, of course, I just kept eating, and then I kept eating.
Well,
kept eating.
You didn't purge yourself or anything. Right?
You know what? That has actually crossed my mind over several previous sessions, including this most recent one
of
gorging.
Grab a feather and head to the vomitorium.
Right? I've actually thought about it. Then I thought, the only thing that stops me from doing that, because I get so disgusted with myself after I've gorged to the point of almost being sick, is if you do that, you know, the acid and everything will, like, eat your throat out and your esophagus and your teeth and everything else. So that stops me. That's the only reason. If there was no other health effects, like it's just like getting – I'd probably go do it. I'm shamefully admitting that. So then I ate so much of the regular food, though, the turkey and mashed potatoes. I couldn't get into the pie and all the desserts. But a few hours later, I probably ate about 2 pounds of pie.
Here comes the pie.
Yeah, pumpkin pie and cheesecake and apple pie. Made another full meal out of that stuff.
Yeah, that's one of those 10,000 calorie days.
Oh,
I'm sure
least,
it was pretty big for me, too. I was actually pretty decent this year. I took small portions, and I didn't feel that bad at the end of the day.
I'm not diabetic, but I probably, you know, made myself, at least temporarily.
You had
diet.
A little sugar.
I mean, the sugar yeah, problem. It's all there.
All right, well, let's get into, why don't we get into...
Help me, Gary. Help me. I'm a food...
No
I'm
trip
a,
to the emergency room.
I'm an eating...
You were an eating
addict.
Machine, dude, is what
I really
it sounds
am.
Like. Yeah. All right, let's talk the grand jury, okay? In Ferguson, came back. Three black people, nine whites, and that's a problem for many in the African community and the race baiters claiming that it was unequal. I don't believe it was. A juror of your peers does not mean necessarily you have to have the same skin color. I mean, in a colorblind society, which we claim to be, some of us anyways, it should not matter. What color your skin is. You should be able to make decisions based on the facts and only the facts. And obviously, some people don't want to look at the facts. And Derek, let's take track one to kind of bring us up to speed, because I think if you watched the grand jury announcement from the prosecutor, I was ashamed at the end when the journalists were asking questions, and they were all pointed, slanted questions, taking the liberal tack. And there was one guy who yelled out at the end as the prosecutor was leaving, "Are you going to sleep tonight, sir?" And I'm thinking to myself, you piece of human filth. How dare you say something like that? You know, how do you consider yourself a journalist saying that? You know, I'm not a journalist. We're just pundits. We come on and we're opinionated, and that's a fact, and I can admit that.
Right.
But that douche seems to claim that he's a journalist walking in already having his mind made up instead of reading through the facts, which were only available to him at that moment. So he hadn't even read through them and had already prejudged.
Yeah, that's one of the elements in this country that's the worst of the worst of the worst is a media, a journalist in this case, pretending to be objective when they're so clearly not. And sometimes it really worries me because I think they're so oblivious that they actually believe they are objective when all evidence proves that they are not.
Yeah.
And they can't see it for themselves. Those are the scariest ones.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, Dirk, let's play the track and get us up to speed, because this is kind of an example for it, I think. The guy comes back, but this is a good example.
The word spread within minutes of Michael Brown's death. A young black man with his hands raised in surrender had just been shot by a white cop. Soon, "Hands up, don't shoot" became a rallying cry for protesters in the streets of this St. Louis suburb and a symbol of nationwide of racial inequality for those who believe that minorities are too often the targets of overzealous police. Yet the witness accounts contained in thousands of pages of grand jury documents reviewed by the Associated Press show many variations about whether Brown's hands were actually raised, and if so, how high. To some, it doesn't matter whether Brown's hands literally were raised, because his death has come to symbolize a much bigger movement. He wasn't shot because of the placement of his hands. He was shot because he was a big, black, scary man, said James Cox, 28, a food server who protested this week in Oakland, California.
I don't know where the music came from in that track, but...
Yeah, I couldn't tell if it was a Disney movie or ABC Wide World of Sports.
I don't know where that music came from, but the point is, a lot of people are just looking at it like, well, ignore the facts. Here, you shot an unarmed black teen. No. Number one, he's 18, right? Is not the age 18 the age of majority in this country? Does that not make you an adult? You may not be able to buy booze. And my editorial this month in The Current, which will be out this week, I wrote it on this because I couldn't stand it any longer. I was just furious that people won't look at the facts of the case. They prejudged him back in August and have not looked at the facts of the case.
Oh, yeah, no. The facts aren't important to certain elements that, like you said, they've already got their agenda laid out. You're not going to be able to change that, no matter what you say, what the facts are, no matter how clear it is.
Yeah, it's just amazing that I go through this in detail in my article, but let's face it, this 6'6", 300-pound young man, not unarmed teen, young man, at 300 pounds, 6'6", you are not a child, and I'm not even going to call you a teen anymore. Just because you're 18, you're an adult. You graduated high school. You should have by now learned all the social mores of how to live in society. You know what I mean? All right, well, there's the hard break. Talk about cutting me off in the middle of something.
Come back to...
We will come back with fervor and discuss the Ferguson incident. We'll see you on the other side.
The Blaze Radio News. I'm Mike Craig. Missouri makes plans to rebuild its damaged communities. The Blaze Radio's Greg Moore reports.
Missouri Governor Jay Nixon asking state lawmakers to hold a special session to help approve the costs of the recent protests and riots in Ferguson. The governor saying the legislature has to approve additional money to pay National Guard soldiers and highway patrol officers. The state will make available $625,000 in zero-interest loans to help businesses damaged and destroyed in protests earlier this week.
As the song goes, there's no place like home for the holidays, but for some New Englanders, their homes this weekend are public shelters. More from the Blaze Radio's Ken Stevens.
With hundreds of crews from throughout the Northeast and Canada working around the clock, we have restored power to tens of thousands of customers.
Thousands of people in New Hampshire still waiting for the lights to come back on following a Thanksgiving Eve storm. Public Service of New Hampshire bringing in extra workers to help, but there's no guarantee service will be restored this weekend. Shelters and warming centers are open across the state.
Atlanta police say three people are dead and two others in critical condition after a shooting at a home this morning in the southeast part of the city. WSB-TV says one man is in critical condition at Grady Memorial Hospital. American prisoners are cheating taxpayers out of millions of dollars.
Hundreds of thousands of prisoners filing phony tax return claims, and the IRS is not doing enough to stop the problem. The Treasury Inspector General for Tax Administration says that the refund fraud associated with prisoner Social Security numbers is a significant problem for the tax agency, and it's only getting worse over time. According to the report, more than 130,000 phony tax returns were filed in 2012 to the tune of around $1 billion. I'm Chris Vermilion, The Blaze News.
This is news on the Blaze Radio Network. Truth lives here.
It's time now for Wham! Talk 1600's Community Calendar with Brandon Drake.
The Information Center's Holiday Assistance Program, Adopt a Family, is underway, providing holiday gifts for low-income families. This program matches families with community donors for extra assistance during the holiday season. The Adopt a Family program is supported by private donations, churches, and local businesses. Last year, 156 families and 25 seniors were adopted through the Holiday Assistance Program. 1,340 people were assisted overall with food, gift cards, and miscellaneous items. If you or your business would like to adopt a family or donate to the Holiday Assistance Program, please contact the Information Center at 734-282-7171. Ypsilanti Meals on Wheels announced it has received $40,000 for a new Ford Transit Connect van from the Ford Motor Company Fund, enabling it to expand rural routes in Washtenaw County and eliminate its client waiting list for 2014. For the first time in 5 years, Ypsilanti Meals on Wheels is a no-wait service provider for the homebound elderly, ill, and disabled, thanks to this generous contribution by the Ford Motor Company Fund. In addition, a $10,000 grant from the Ann Botsford Bach Fund at the Ann Arbor Community Foundation made it possible for Ypsilanti Meals on Wheels to launch a new food basket delivery program for 50 of its neediest clients in August 2014. If you know someone in the Ypsilanti area eligible for Ypsilanti Meals on Wheels services, call 734-487-9872. Or to learn more about Ypsilanti Meals on Wheels, visit ymow.org.
You've been listening to the Wham! Community Calendar. To have your event publicized, email community at whamradio.com or write to Brandon Drake, COWAAM, 4230 Packard Road, Ann Arbor, 48108. You're listening to The Drift on Wham! Talk 1600. Join in the conversation at 734-822-1600. Now, back to your host, Gary Wellings.
And welcome back. Thank you for tuning in to catch our Drake.
Hey, that too.
Thank you for tuning in to Catch the Drift, featuring Brandon Drake.
Hey, Derek tells me that the score is 21-21. A few minutes Michigan's left in the third quarter. Ah. Well, 21-21 means they're tied.
Oh, sorry. Yeah. you told me 14 earlier. I was thinking they were up by 7. Well, who knows? Maybe we'll end the year on a winning note.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'd like to see the disappointment for Ohio State just permeate their brains for a year. Would love it.
I'm scared to watch.
I don't want to jinx it.
I'm scared.
Yeah.
So we were talking.
Hey, I got a quick question. I'm sorry.
Sure, go ahead.
Derek, what would you be more afraid of? Being in Ferguson, walking around right now, or at Columbus wearing a Michigan sweatshirt right now?
Ooh.
Gee, that's tough. I'm not sure. You fear for your life in both places, so I really can't answer it. I have no answer. I think they're both equal.
No win, huh? Yeah, I think I'd be just as afraid to be a Michigan fan in Columbus because of those poor sportsmen thugs that get away with that.
Yeah.
Sorry. Anyway.
Okay. Well, let's get back to Michael Brown. Let's get back to a different subject of travesty, tragedy, and we'll talk to Michael Brown. So, I was writing this month, so you want to? It'll be available in the next couple of days here, but. Let's go over the facts as the grand jury saw them, and this is just a brief rehash, and you can find every bit of evidence that the grand jury found. It's all online. It's all been released. So please, if you're one of those people that supports the killing or the Michael Brown's side of the story, do your homework before you discuss it with anybody else, because you know what? The facts are not in Michael Brown's favor. So let's – when I said – Michael Brown is a one-man crime wave. He was. He was a one-man crime wave on the streets of Ferguson, Missouri that day. And let's just kind of go over a little bit. He had marijuana in his system per the autopsy. So the man was already high, smoking an illegal drug, right? There's your first crime of the day. Second crime of the day, walks into a party store, steals some cigars, petty theft, nothing worth losing your life over for sure. But the intent of his mind... Obviously, he had verbal words and threats with the store clerk. There's assault, and then battery when he shoved the clerk. That's assault and battery. Now, you got three crimes already in the space of a few minutes, right?
No respect for the law. No respect for
anybody else or a store clerk or anybody's private property, right?
It's all about him.
It's all about him. Him and his friend. Now, any self-respecting thief would gather his goods and skulk off into the woodwork and not want to be caught, right? But this guy walks down the middle of the street in his little hometown there with his buddy, and instead of getting up on the sidewalk, they obstruct traffic going down the street. Now, if I'm just a person driving down the street and I see a 300-pound, 6'6" individual, no matter what his color, I don't know that I'm going to roll my window down and say, hey, get out of the street. But Officer Darren Wilson happened to be driving by and said to the two gentlemen, hey, what's wrong with the sidewalk? Get over and use the sidewalk. And that's when words were exchanged. Were they threatening words? I didn't dig that deep into it, but obviously something happened there that caused the ruckus. It was enough to make Officer Wilson think, oh, these guys look like the two guys that just robbed the store. Okay? Doing his job.
Doing his job.
Instead of running away, as some people suggested he should have done, he called for backup and then backed up and confronted the two robbers, whatever they
the
are.
Perps. You know,
the perps. At that point, while trying to get out of his car, the 300-pound, 6'6" child pushed the door shut and began to struggle with the officer inside his car through the window. And when the gun went off, it hit his hand. That's where his blood showed up. And this is all factual. His blood is in the car because he was trying to grab the officer's gun. So now you've got assault on a police officer. And I would think attempted murder, wouldn't you?
Well, I would say at that point, all rules are, now you're in a fight for your life.
Right.
As a police officer.
Yeah, as far as I'm concerned, attempted murder. And what people don't
see. Theron said it best. Once you started struggling in that police car, that's a death sentence.
Yeah. I mean, think about somebody else who just maybe have been driving down the street, a civilian, and beeped a horn at these two individuals saying, hey, get out, I'm trying to get through. They probably would have pulled them from the car, carjacked them, or beaten them to death. There could have been a murder. Mm-hmm. You know, it was probably going to happen sooner or later. If not that day, another day. And at that point, the officer gets out. The perp has gotten shot, starts to run away. The officer tells him to stop, takes pursuit, and he turns around to confront the officer. And according to the autopsy, there were no hands up in the air, as people say, don't shoot or whatever. He attacked the officer, turned and charged, and that's what the autopsy results show. That is what the credible witnesses, not just the white ones, but black ones as well, said that verified the evidence. I mean, that's what it comes down to. Any testimony has to be backed up by the physical facts in the autopsy.
Yeah, because didn't the shot hit him in the top of the head?
The final shot was the top of the head because he was charging or falling down. But either way, he was heading toward the officer. Okay? You don't charge somebody when you're surrendering. That's just not right. Okay? So the facts are not in Michael Brown's favor by any stretch of the imagination. And yet these protests keep coming on. People keep saying, you know, the hands up. And it went into the stores this week. I mean, what does Walmart have to do with Michael Brown? Really? You're going to get into other people's faces and shops and try to shut down shop owners who had nothing to do with it? You already burned down all the shops in your own town over this.
Oh, you know, one of the groups in Ferguson, aside from the New Black Panthers, I just remembered the name, and this is a group out of New York, and they're actually called the Revolutionary Communist Party, that were in Ferguson to stir up trouble. So to address your point, though, about what does Walmart have to do with any of this, these are various groups that, even though they don't have the same specific agenda, they still have this anti-authority, almost anarchist type mindset that anything goes.
Yeah.
To further their brain dead, crazy agenda to bring down this country.
Yeah.
So whether it's the Occupy movement, the Revolutionary Communist Party, the New Black Panthers, just radicals in the street that are anti-white, anti-this, they are all going to come together because, you know what it is? It's almost like when Al-Qaeda started moving through Syria into Iraq during the Iraq War when we were there. It's an opportunity.
Yeah, they're opportunists.
So, exactly. So Ferguson is an opportunity for all these various groups to go to, just like various parts of the Middle East are or in Africa, like Boko Haram in Nigeria, are opportunities for those groups to move in.
Yeah. Let's take a call from Theron. I know we always must be doing our job when the boss calls in. Theron, welcome to the show.
Yeah, hey, I got to set you guys straight. You've left out one very important fact. As a matter of fact, it's the only fact that matters here in the new United States of Liberia, Third World America 2014, and that's that it was a white guy that shot a black guy, and that's all that matters. All those other facts are irrelevant.
Yeah, well, that's true. That's exactly right. People, they just look at the face value and say, hey, he's white, he killed a black person. What?
Right.
Yeah, so you guys got to get your heads on straight and stop talking about those petty details and truthful facts. Forget that, man. The only thing you need to focus on it was a white guy shot a black guy. End of story.
Well, that's, you're right. That's cutting to the chase. The other facts do matter, though, in that it is illegal on the ground for a police officer to enforce the law and defend himself.
Right.
And we sugarcoated around it a little bit by saying, you know, in those terms. But you're right. If it was a black cop killing a white 6'5", 6'6" guy, we wouldn't even be having this conversation right now. Nobody would know about it.
Yeah, well, they're going to need all those facts you guys talked about for the made-for-TV movie, too.
Yeah, yeah, we'll wait
for
to see.
Filler.
We'll wait to see that one come out.
All right, well, listen, gentlemen, keep up the good work.
All right, thanks, Theron. Appreciate the call.
You deserve a raise.
All right, assalamu alaikum.
All right, so, yeah, I mean, that's the way. MSNBC, they were literally said. Someone on that, I was half listening. They said, the cop should have run away. Go away. Let it slide. Seriously?
Yeah, what kind of a police force are we going to have there or throughout this country where when confrontation with a police officer is had that they should run away? I mean, what are we talking about? You know, it goes back to everything we've talked about, you know, whether it's illegals being here and that illegals that got here 5 years ago, they're going to feel more justified in being here than illegals that are coming across now or from 2 weeks ago. It's the border should be closed. Illegal is illegal. A cop is doing his job. What's where's Where's the argument?
Yeah. Well, this is all going to one, and we're going to get to this by the end of the show, so we're going to try and get through this. The lawlessness is continuing because it's coming from the top down, and you know this, and I know this, and I'm hoping the American people are starting to see it, because as these protests spread across the country in their ignorance of the facts, they were shutting down highways as well. And there was some video out of San Diego where an African-American man who was trying to get to work, and this is a guy not making a big wage but has to get to work or he's going to lose his job, can't get through because a bunch of people are protesting over Ferguson and they've shut down the highway. Derek, do you have track two ready? They've already taken the bad language out, so we don't have to worry about that. Go ahead and play that, Derek.
I got to go to Ross right now, homie. If I don't get there, homie, I'm going to get fired. So I got six kids to feed, and these niggas call us. Day goes on, homie. He's out every day. Deal with it the right way. Not like this.
This was the scene this morning. Thousands of irate commuters at a standstill, some getting out of their cars and taking matters into their own hands. One of the many angry drivers trying to get to work this morning was Tyree Landrum. In a moment that ended up going viral this morning, he got out of his car and pushed one of the protesters towards the center divider, wrestling his bullhorn away. The protesters were chanting, "No justice, no peace." Landrum wanted to send his own message. Many drivers felt the same sentiment, that the main injustice here was preventing them from getting to work in the middle of morning rush hour.
You guys don't have to go to work. They don't really know anything about the real issue, you know? They're just complaining about something that could be dealt with differently.
Meanwhile, many healthcare workers out of their cars and in their scrubs trying to get to area hospitals.
People, we have doctors and nurses who have the same life here, okay?
The drivers on scene rejoiced when the CHP and STPD showed up in force.
Spend the night in jail. That's where you guys are going, to jail tonight.
Well, of course, that prediction ended up being untrue, prompting a slew of angry calls this morning. I'm Natasha Zubas, Virginia. Back to you.
Yeah.
You know, in situations like that, where's Deng Xiaoping when you need him? Go Tiananmen Square on their asses.
Yeah, well, you know, the very end of that, they said they didn't go to jail. Every one of those people should have been in jail for obstructing traffic on the highway. It's illegal to be on the highway as a pedestrian.
They're breaking the law.
They're breaking the law, and yet they're giving a pass. Stop giving a pass to these people. If you want to protest, you have the right to protest peaceably. Peaceably, not getting out, obstructing traffic, keeping. I mean, what would have happened if somebody had been in an ambulance trying to get to the hospital to save them from a heart attack? Or they should have been prosecuted for murder if that were to happen, and I hope they do.
You know, unfortunately, too many people observing this type of behavior look at it as if it's like an underdog romanticism.
Yeah.
Attached to it. No, these are people that are morons breaking the law.
Yeah. Yeah, they're
some not just doing it out of stupidity, but some with an obvious agenda that's destructive to this country.
Yeah, they're trying to make a hero and a martyr out of Michael Brown. He was a simple thug and a criminal. And you know what? It was his decision to do what he did, and his life ended. Nobody's fault but Michael Brown's. It's that simple. Let's take a call from Ken. Welcome to the show.
I wanted to say that, first of all, it's pretty obvious that the truth doesn't mean a thing to any of the protesters.
No.
Because anybody who takes a look at the facts behind what the prosecutor had to present as far as evidence, Darren Wilson, the officer, was clearly in the right self-defense. And that brings up a good question, is what if the store owner had done, and it's unfortunate that he didn't do it, had shot and killed the thug for robbing his store? I mean, that's something that could have easily happened if the store owner had a weapon available. He could have ended this right away. I think we're just living in a society today that a lot of people think that it's okay for thugs to rob and let them get away with it regardless.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, depending on what color the store owner was, Ken, it would have made national news or not. If it had been a black store owner that had shot him for thievery, we never would have heard about it. Had it been a Hispanic, we might have heard about it. Had it been an Asian, you might have heard about it. If it had been a white, we'd still be in the same position. I mean, that's clearly the case.
And, you know, one thing that people have to realize, too, is that for the police overall to be able to do their job, there has to be an image of the police that they are going to do what's necessary to enforce the law, and they're not going to run away, and they might err, I say err, I use that term loosely, on the side of violence to enforce the law and bring somebody in. And once that perception is gone among the common folk that the police aren't to be respected, they aren't to be taken seriously, which is what all these people are agitating for, yeah, then law and order is gone.
That's exactly right.
Then it's just chaos.
Yep.
There again, if Darren Wilson, the officer, was a black man, we wouldn't be hearing about this either.
Yep, that's exactly right, Ken. Great, great, great points. Thanks for the call, Ken. Appreciate it.
Perhaps what we need to do is police in Ferguson, for example, that are white, and they see a crime taking place that involves black on black or black on white or what, they just kick back and say, you know what, I can't do anything here.
Yeah. Well,
the suspect is black. I can't do anything. So I'm going to sit here and watch, and if a black officer comes along, maybe he'll do something. Because I know that if I do something, this is the mess that we get.
Yeah, isn't that, and that's a tragedy in and of itself.
Totally.
Yeah. Let's take a call from Luis online, too. Luis, welcome to the show.
Yes, I listened to your last caller and agree with the fact that they're undermining police forces. And what concerns me is they undermine police forces all over the country, the local police. And then you have anarchy, and then the government steps in and says, this is our federal police force. Like the KGB, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's a great point, Louise. I mean, it could happen like that. You know, not,
yes,
not that they would do any better of a job. They'd probably do worse, like the federal government does everything.
Oh, they come in, take you away, no trial, no lawyer, no nothing.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I'm very concerned about the attitude that they're teaching the young people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Absolutely.
That's,
you know,
that's what it comes down to.
They're the ones we need to get to.
Yeah, that's exactly what it comes down to, Louise. We're not teaching the right values, any of us,
exactly,
to our children. Yeah.
Great.
Well,
and it starts
I hope
with the
you are. I hope you, you know, I'm of the World War II generation when we were taught a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
No, that's gone. That mentality's gone.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
Well, I'm still working on it.
Yeah.
You know,
good
to talk to other people, other, especially young people.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah. Well, thank you so much for sticking with it, Luis, and I appreciate the phone call. Great points.
Yeah, keep up the good fight.
All right.
You know, it's like it starts with the parents, you know, where they want to be their kid's friend, you know, instead of teaching them, hey, you respect authority.
Yeah.
Let's be buddies. Let's buy you something.
And
don't get mad at me, child. I want to buy you something. We'll make it all right.
Yeah, and here's what's wrong in Michael Brown's case. His parents are not being responsible, and they obviously did not teach responsibility to Michael Brown. Because here's what they did. They went to the UN and said, we're not getting justice because our criminal thug son, killer, the cop, didn't go to jail or didn't get prosecuted. Your son was a criminal. He was a thug. Let's listen to his parents. That's track three, Derek. Let's play that.
Michael Brown's parents are in Switzerland to speak to a United Nations Human Rights panel about their son's death. They testified before a UN committee against torture, which also addresses police brutality and excessive force. The parents say they want the world to know what is going on in Ferguson.
Me and his mother, we came here to the UN to get justice for our son. I think that it couldn't be a better place that we can start at. And we want to just thank y'all for having us.
Now, the family's lawyer says the issue of violence at the hands of police needs to be addressed in Missouri.
Yeah, come on. Seriously? So you're going to the UN because your criminal thug's son attacked a police officer and a store clerk and got shot in the process and died. His fault from doing what he did, and your fault as parents for not teaching him better than that.
Hey, I got the answer. The Canadians are so good at sending peacekeeping forces around the world. Send them to Ferguson. Let's see what happens. Let's see them live up to their great vows of grandeur around the world with peacekeeping.
Let's take a call from Jimmy in Manchester. Jimmy, welcome to the show.
Yeah, how you doing? I was just wondering what you thought of the inciter-in-chief calling for restraint on law enforcement, basically throughout the nation. And now this has spread to places like San Francisco, Los Angeles, Atlanta, you know, New York, all over. And, you know, nobody's doing anything about it. Now, in Dallas, at the very least, the locals said if the police are going to stand down, we're going to come in and defend their own neighborhoods. And they let the people protest, but there was no nonsense there.
Yeah. Well, one of the things that I wrote down in my article this week is the fact that the National Guard was there. They were called up, but they weren't put on the streets. Why weren't they put on the streets? And why was there a leak to the press in Washington, D.C. earlier in the day? Okay, for me, call it Conspiracy Saturday again, is Eric Holder, Barack Obama, the Missouri Governor Jay Nixon, are they all trying to incite something? Are they actually looking? I know it's hard to believe.
But you're thinking they can't be that stupid.
You would think nobody could be that stupid, but there's got to be a reason that they would do what they did. Are they looking for trouble? Are they trying to incite and divide the country? I don't know, but it doesn't make sense that they did what they did.
I think they are trying to divide the country. This is the third incident that Obama's been involved in, and this is the only one that's really gone this far. If you take a look at the very first one, the gentleman breaking into his own home, maybe that was kind of a weird thing, but still the police do have the right to find out if you belong there or not. You know?
Right.
Not only do they have the right, I would think that they have the expectation
obligation
of the taxpayer and the citizen that they should investigate it. I mean, if I was a next-door neighbor to this guy and the police saw somebody they didn't know climbing into a window of the house, whether it's his own house or not, as a citizen, as a neighbor in that community, I would expect the police to get out and check it out. And if they didn't, I would be offended by that. I'd be outraged by that.
Yeah, that's their job to do that. What else you got, Ed? Anything? Jimmy,
sure.
I'm sorry.
Certainly, once the guy showed him his ID and said, I live here, the cops are going to go away. They don't care if you break into your own home.
And they
probably locked their keys out inside before, too.
Right. And they did, but this guy started giving them crap.
Yeah.
What was his name? Yeah. Professor Gates?
Yes, I think
you know, he started
that,
giving the cops all this crap, and then Obama opens his big mouth before he had any of the facts, blaming the police,
yeah,
calling him stupid.
Yep.
He's the stupid one.
Yeah, great points, Jimmy. Appreciate it. Let's get another call in here before the end of the show. Ed from Ypsilanti, welcome to the show. Go ahead, Ed.
Well, hi, guys. One thing is, you asked if there's a conspiracy, and I'm thinking, yeah, they're flooding the zone. They just throw so much stuff out there. There's so much chaff that there's no defense. None of our missiles can strike because we're so bothered with chasing chaff, that we can't get to the target.
Hey, Ed, you know who we need in Ferguson? Sledgehammer.
Yeah. Trust me, I know what I'm doing.
Exactly. Did you hear during the American Dream, I did a shout-out to you, and we played a clip from the show.
I couldn't listen. Oh. I couldn't listen because my cable was down, and I listened over the Internet. But yeah, the thing I wanted to call about was that an observation I made about these protesters and everybody with an opinion in general about what went down in Ferguson. I have my own ideas of what went down, but I can't. I've been on a jury. You never know what a jury sees, and you never see what a jury sees. And we have so many people that are willing to make a decision that will do everything they can to get out of jury duty. And
yeah,
they want to be the jury, as long as they get to sit on the sidelines.
Yeah, yeah, good point.
You know?
That's a really good
yeah
point. I didn't think of it that way. That's true.
Well, that's why I brought it up. The other thing is that, you know, Michael Brown actually deserved to die. He didn't deserve to die because of his race, because of his social circumstances, but because he attacked a police officer.
Yeah, well, he made his decisions, Jimmy, or Ed, and that's exactly right. He made the decision that ended his own life. There's no one to blame but Michael Brown.
Yeah, and sometimes the consequences are mortal.
Yeah. Well, thanks. Good call, Ed. Appreciate it. And we'll see everybody next Saturday.
See you.
Take it.